PPI.org.
Welcome. Thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of the show. Charlene Dahl is my research woman. Hello, Charlene.
Good evening, everyone.
Special thanks to Miguel Vargas, who's my engineer tonight while I am at home. And with us, we have Justin Page. Justin is the supervising attorney with the Minnesota Disability Law Center. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Charlene.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about voting. Voting, voting, voting. Everyone should vote. But can we start out, Justin, by just sharing a little bit about your background and how you got involved with the Disability Law Center?
Sure. So I've been an attorney in some capacity now with the Disability Law Center for 18 years. I came to the Disability Law Center out of a clerkship with the judge in Hennepin County. And my practice right now focuses on, I supervise our voting rights work and our outreach work, and I also have a small caseload. The voting rights work that we do, it's nonpartisan work, and we talk to people, we give presentations about people's voting rights for people with disabilities, and encourage people to vote. And it also, if people have problems with voting, from the registration to the absentee or in person on election day,
they
can call our office and we can help try to resolve their issue, because we want as many people to vote as possible.
How did you actually get involved with accessible voting?
Well, our office, the Disability Law Center, has a grant that works on voting. Our office is the protection and advocacy for people with disabilities in the state of Minnesota. Every state has a protection and advocacy in their state, and they all have voting grants to do voting rights work. So that's how I became involved.
So are all voting places accessible to people with disability issues?
They should be, but sometimes we find they're not always fully accessible from, you know, the number of parking spaces. They have bathrooms. Sometimes the bathrooms aren't accessible. And there's an accessible balloting machine. All polling places are supposed to have accessible balloting machine. And if you've been voting in Minnesota for a while, it's been known as the auto mark. But now a number of counties are moving away from the auto mark. It's been different systems.
How does a place get to be a certified voting place? What's required of that?
I think the city or the local jurisdictions pick the polling places that will be used. And they're often schools, churches, community centers, someplace in the community.
So as a person with a disability, what might I expect when I go to my voting place?
Hopefully you can expect devoted places to be accessible. You can expect to there'll be staff there who will greet you and get you, make sure you're registered, and get you all checked in, hand you the ballot. Then you'll be able to vote in private using the accessible balloting machine or not. It's your choice.
Can I vote early?
Absolutely. You can vote early, starting, well, it started at the end of September, but you can vote absentee in person or via the mail now through the election. The ballot, you need to make sure your ballot is in by election day in order for it to count.
So, if I vote early, are there only specific places that I can do that at, or will every polling place be open early for you to vote at?
Now, if you're going to vote in person, if you're going to vote absentee in person, not every polling place is open. It's generally, and you'll probably need to check with your local city or the Secretary of State's office at minvotes.org to see where those early polling places are located.
Like, I know my city hall is a place that has an accessible voting machine, then they're open but only during business hours, so that people have to understand it's not like you can always just go and vote from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., right? That's the general
That's
close of.
only on November 8th, which is election day this year. Polling places will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And as long as you're in line by 8 p.m., you'll be able to vote.
So what you're saying too is if you're going to vote early, check with your city to see where the polling places are.
Correct. And I would also encourage, even on election day, because sometimes polling places change. I think it's always a good idea just to go on the Secretary of State's website and check your polling place and to confirm your polling place, because you don't want to go to some place that used to be your polling place that is
Right.
no longer your polling place.
So, does Minnesota have online voting?
No.
And is there any particular reason why?
You would have to ask the Secretary of State's office and the Minnesota legislature, but I think Minnesota prefers a paper ballot,
Gotcha.
and there are paper ballots, so that should give people confidence when they cast their vote if there is an issue after the election and there's a recount or something. You can actually, you'll ha have the paper ballots to physically to be able to do that.
So I have a question about the voting machines because I have used them many times. And if the voting machine malfunctions, what happens?
Oh, if the voting machine malfunctions, well, the first thing to do would be to check in with the head election official there. Because the voting machines, when they get to the polling place early in the morning, they should be all set up. And if there are any issues, the election judges should deal with them early in the morning before voting starts. But sometimes, if a problem arises during the day and you get there and the accessible voting machine doesn't work, I would talk to the election judge.
Right. So what happened to me, at least I'll say, is that living where I am, there's apparently not a lot of people who use the accessible voting machine, except I do. And they hadn't, I'm guessing they hadn't fully tested it because I went to vote. It let me select everything, but it would not let me print out my ballot. So
Well,
that was a problem.
Right, I'm sorry you heard or you had that situation, because we try to impress upon election officials that the absentee or the ballot marking machine needs to be working. Otherwise, kind of what's the point of having it? So it needs to be working, and so people with disabilities can vote independently and privately.
Right. So yeah, then I had to do it not privately, and that wasn't what I
That
had in mind. But
and that's that that's it, you could call the Disability Law Center, and we might not be able to resolve the issue right there, but we
right.
can later follow up with the election officials, and there's a possibility of filing a voting rights or a voting complaint under the Help America Vote Act with the Secretary of State's office.
Gotcha. So, short of the election judge, if I have a problem, let's say, I don't know what it would be, during the voting process, is there anybody else I could appeal to during that time if he isn't able, or he or she is not able to work it out?
You can call our office. And one of or hopefully we can help resolve the issue.
Are you guys keeping voting hours on the election day, or what's your hours that people can call?
Yep, on election day we have an election hotline, but it's and I'll be staffing that all day. We don't get a lot of people calling in, but if they do, they can call our office, and we have it set up so they will be patched through directly. Those calls will be routed directly to me.
So I know sometimes people move around and things like that. So what happens if they've moved and they want to vote now where they currently live? If they've moved in the last month or so, is there a process they have to go through?
Well, if you have moved, you have to re-register to vote every time you move. And you can register online, in the mail, or in person on day of the election. If for some reason you don't have, say you move November 1st, the election is November 5th, and you don't have all the documents necessary to show that you live at your new address, you can have someone in the precinct who knows you vouch for you.
So, what are the documents that one would need if they have to re-register?
Well, you don't need a photo ID to vote, but if you can register with a photo ID. If you don't have a photo ID, you can bring an expired ID along with a bill that you get.
Ah, wow, really? They let you bring an expired ID, huh?
An expired bill with an expired ID with a bill that
With a
shows
bill that shows your name. Okay, all
address.
right.
And if you
Gotcha.
don't have any of those, you can go through the vouching process, which I just explained.
Yeah. So what have you seen as far as tendencies now? In COVID, like a lot of people, I think, voted via mail, mailed their stuff in. What have you seen now since it's kind of moved a little past, even though it's COVID still out there, but people are feeling more free about moving about now?
Well, I mean, we'll see. This will be kind of the first big election that we've had since I talked to you last,
Ah,
2020.
yes.
That's where COVID was a big deal then, even though it's still, I mean, it's still a big deal and people should take it seriously. But I agree, people are more, things are opening up more. So I expect More people probably than in 2020 will vote, going to vote on election day, even though there'll be a lot of people who vote absentee as well.
Can you explain to those who aren't sure what the rules of voting absentee are? Is there specific rules that you have to follow if you want to vote absentee?
Well, if you want to vote absentee, you need to contact the Secretary of State, or you need to request an absentee ballot. You can do that at minvotes.org. And you request the ballot. The ballot will be mailed to you. You can fill it out. You may recall in 2020, there was a, or prior to 2020, there was a requirement that you have a witness sign your ballot. And that was excused during COVID in 2020. That was a one-time thing. So there's a requirement this year that you need to have a witness sign your absentee ballot.
And you, it, when you say a witness, do you mean an it has to be notarized?
Well, there has to be a witness, so someone who lives in Minnesota, or it can be a notary.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be a notary.
So, Justin, if Charlene or I have some kind of fantastic idea for making the voting process better, for accessible voting, who would we go to?
Well, you would probably go to, well, you can go to a number of places. You can go to your city election official. You can go to your legislator, because they're the ones who create the laws regarding voting. You can go to the Secretary of State's office and make your voice heard. You can also call our office, and we can try to assist you in making the your voting experience more accessible.
Just curious about if you're talking about an absentee v ballot, that's the same as voting through the mail, right? You just send the absentee ballot in, or are there drop-off places that you can do that if you want?
Correct. Well, you can vote absentee a number of ways. You can vote absentee through the mail. You can vote absentee in person by going early to your city election headquarters or polling place and vote there. So there are a few ways to vote. And yes, there were drop boxes in 2020, I believe, and you'll want to check with your city on this. Or your county or your local government to see if there are those drop boxes. I know there were in 2020. I assume there will be this year.
And one can find out by checking with their. Do the cities have different rules of about drop boxes?
I don't know if they have different rules. I mean, some of them just have them and some of them. I'm not sure that all cities across the state have them. Probably the more urban areas have them, but other cities or counties may have them as well.
So, when we had the last presidential voting, it got pretty crazy. Have you noticed a drop in volunteers? Are people nervous about, being volunteers in their voting places now?
I haven't heard that specifically related to Minnesota and polling place workers. I do understand across the country that that is a concern because people, regular citizens, just want to, do their civic duty and make sure that the process is fair and accessible to everyone. And then they're often And I was saying this is just in other states, threats, and just for people doing their job, which is unfortunate. But I haven't seen that in Minnesota, and hopefully we won't. I guess there's an election. We haven't. There was a primary election back in August, and I didn't hear anything regarding that happening during the primary season.
So, what does Minnesota do to keep their voting and ballots safe and secure?
Well, so for folks who have questions about, and you hear a lot of folks have questions about their absentee ballot, there is a way to track the absentee ballot online. So you can have confidence that your absentee ballot did get to the election office and was counted. And for some reason, if it's kind of last minute and you see, oh no, my ballot didn't get counted, then you can go ask for a new ballot and go vote in person. But we haven't, so you need to make sure you get your ballot in by the election day on November 8th.
Yeah, I would do it as early as
Yeah, I
possible.
would do it as early as possible. I agree, because if you recall, in 2020, there were issues with the mail.
Yes, funny thing about that.
There was a lot of concern that if you mailed a ballot in, even with 2 weeks, that it wouldn't get there. I haven't heard as much concern about that this year, but I wouldn't wait to the last. If you're going to vote absentee via mail, I wouldn't wait to the last minute just because you want to make sure that ballot gets in and is counted.
So, as somebody who often goes to my poll, how do I know my ballot is safe and is being counted?
Well, on the, when you put your ballot in the
That
ballot
little slot.
counter, you'll get it. There's a number, a tally on that, and you can see, as I've done this a number of times, you can see it will increase by one. So your ballot will go in, and it will, if it's accepted, if it's rejected, it should reject your ballot right away.
So what kind of things would make somebody not be able to vote?
Not be able to vote, not a citizen under the age of 18. If they're serving a felony sentence, you can't vote. If you haven't been a Minnesota resident for 19 days, or if you haven't been a Minnesota resident for over 20 days, I should say, you can't vote in Minnesota. And there's also a provision that there's a lot of confusion about the guardianship issue. People under guardianship are able to vote as long as the guardianship order of that individual is silent on a person's voting rights.
I
So,
see.
say another way, if the guardianship order doesn't say anything about voting, you can vote. If the guardianship order does say something about voting, you need to look at the guardianship order. And you can only And you can't vote if it says your right to vote is revoked.
So if somebody is a felon and they've served their time and they're out in the community, can they vote in Minnesota?
Well, that depends. Are they still serving part of their felony sentence? If so, they can't vote. But if they're what's called off paper, they're done, their whole sentence is completed. They are able to vote. So that can be confusing. So it's really important if you are serving a felony sentence that you look to determine whether your sentence is completed or not. I mean, if you're just out on probation, still serving part of your sentence, then you can't vote them, unfortunately.
So if I have more questions on this voting stuff, where do I go?
You can call the Minnesota Disability Law Center. If you, or I should say, you can call or you can go online to minvotes.org. That's the Secretary of State's website. And the Secretary of State on their website has plenty of information on voting that answers a lot of these questions. If you have further questions about accessibility, you can always contact our office at the Minnesota Disability Law Center.
Charlene, did you have any questions now that I used all your questions? Charlene helped me with these earlier as I was in surgery. So,
Can we get the phone number just so people have
yes.
it?
Sure. Let me, it's the phone number for my office is 1-800-292-4150.
So 1-800-292-4150. All
One eight
right.
hundred two nine two four one five zero. Yes.
Excellent.
The Secretary of State again is minvotes.org.
So is there anything more you'd like to leave us with?
I would just encourage everyone to exercise their right, their civic right and duty to vote on in this year's election, which is November 8th.
All right. Justin, thank you. We always appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge. So thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Disability and Progress wants to remind you that we are podcasted, so you may ask your smartphone or smart device to play the latest podcast, and that will, or you can go online at disability, or sorry, kfai.org/disability and progress. You can find our latest episodes there. And hopefully, are the podcasts there? They might be closely linked there. So we also have an emailing list. If you'd like to be on our email list, you can email us at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com, and we'll gladly add you to what's going to be coming up. But coming up this next half hour is a from Disability Wrap. It's celebrating disability pride. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. My name is Sam. Charlene Dahl is my research assistant. Thank you, Miguel, for your engineering excellence.
KFAI.org.